Well, good morning. Thanks for joining me. So we call Ordinary Zen Sangha a practice center. It's a practice center because we come here to practice, and we practice meditation. Well, any sort of discipline takes practice. So if you do this regularly, it's a little easier than if you come back to it after you haven't done it for a while or have never done it before. How I like to talk about this is I like to say that this is about getting to know ourselves. And the first barrier to getting to know ourselves is ourselves. Just a couple of things I want to go over about sitting and practice. Besides doing it regularly, makes it easier. There are certain things you can do to help your posture and your practice and get being more comfortable and relaxed in it. You know, of course, if you do yoga and stretching and things like that, you can do that. And that helps. And people who sit on cushions, their legs are tight. But eventually, if you do this regularly, it happens. The other thing about our practice is there's no judgment. There's many long-term practitioners that sit in chairs that have been meditating for years and years and years and are great at it. Use chairs, cushions, no matter. That's not what's important. What's important is your practice. And it's yours. It's not anybody else's. So you can't compare. You can't say, oh, I wish I was like that yogi over there. You have to be you. And we all come into this world with a different set of advantages and disadvantages, if you will. I don't happen to believe in advantages and disadvantages, but however you want to word it, it's just we're all different. We're all unique. I like to think of it as multifaceted jewels. We all have something different to offer because we're unique. It's wonderful. So, you know, just judgment aside, just relaxing into being still. My teacher, the Zen master that I used to sit with in Germantown, Maryland, he was Korean. And he used to say that sitting in meditation was the best exercise. I kind of kept that as a koan or a mantra from years. Because it was a little confusing to me. Well, what does that mean? He's just sitting on his ass. You know? And how often in our culture is it recommended to just sit on your ass? So, you know, there's that. And then there's another famous Japanese Zen master that said, sitting meditation is wonderfully useless. What's the point? So we're not trying to get somewhere. We're trying to understand what we already are and what we already have. Science, most recently, has come into this whole Eastern view of what's called no self in Buddhism. So from a Western point of view, we sort of think that there's this pilot directing things in our brain here. But from these, there's no self. So now we understand that the left side of the brain is constantly creating narratives for us to identify with as though there is one, but there isn't. Science has proven it. Science is leaning more towards the actual view of Buddhism, which is no self. So this can be kind of scary because we're really identified with our egos and our idea of self. The other thing about our experience in life is everything is always changing. If you're really observing, it's never the same. So how can you be the same? What is this I that doesn't change? Everything's in constant flux and change, and everything is affecting everything else. And this is a beautiful process when you understand it that way, rather than feel threatened by it, as though it's taking something away from you. So in Buddha's original teaching of, you know, life, everybody has suffering in life. There's a way to end suffering. And he referred to the Eightfold Path, which right attitude about things, right thinking, right perception, meditation, all the rest. And he said there was nirvana and that all of us could achieve this nirvana. So getting back to practice a little bit, this cushion that I sit on is filled with buckwheat. It's very hard. These cushions that I have for everyone here are filled with cotton batting. So there's quite a difference. My cushion is quite a bit higher than these. Now, it took me a while to find the right cushion for me, for my body type and how I am. Dan, who's a regular practitioner, he's not here today, he's in England, but he has a little bench. But he's very tall and lanky, and he's done a lot of biking and all kinds of things over the years, construction and what have you, and his knees, and he just can't do it. He can't sit like this. So he uses, you know, this little bench that works great for him. And he has one that folds up and he could take it everywhere. You know, it's very, very nice, very well made. It's handmade wooden, beautiful wood and, you know, canvas seat. And, you know, you can go the Cadillac way if you want. So, you know, you have to take care of yourselves. You know, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Now, some of the other things about sitting, really simple things. You want to sit in a upright posture, but you don't want to be too stiff. You know, it's not the military. You want to be upright and have good posture, but it wants to be relaxed, but not too relaxed. So there's, again, it comes back to this Buddhist idea of the middle way. You know, we're not trying to torture ourselves, right? When we're sitting, when our life is in turmoil, our mind is in turmoil. When our mind is troubled, if we just come back with our breath and we stay here, 2 inches below the belly button, that's the center of the body. It's also considered the spiritual center. It helps to settle. So the body-mind connection, again, you're settling and you're getting to be still. And this just stopping the noise from, even if it only lasts for a millisecond in a whole half an hour of sitting, it was worth it. Thanks for joining me today.
The main thread of the way I've come to think about the body and posture is that there's a certain posture that reflects awareness.
Okay.
You know, therefore, the body helps the mind settle if you're in the right posture, and the mind helps the body. You know, there's a conversation going on between the mind and the body.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the basic premise of mindfulness. That's being present, just being here now, right here.
Part of what's really interesting is that how your patterns of thoughts and an underlying current of anxiety, or however you want to describe the buzz that a lot of us go through when we're in challenging situations, reverberates through the body, and you can catch it. You can start to be aware of it, how it's affecting your breath, your constriction, your muscles, your posture, your face, the tension, everything you carry it. And again, if you can start to be aware of it, you can step back and start to watch it, and you can help start to dissolve that underlying state that you're so absorbed into.
That's what I'm talking about when I say getting to know ourselves.
Yeah.
It's this awareness. And when we really get to know ourselves, we can know everyone else, you see, because we're all in this together and we share this. I mean, we all have our troubles. We all have our anxieties. We all have issues in our lives. That's just the way it is. We're acknowledging and letting go. So So that's a relaxation. I call it relaxing into what is. So it's not like we're, if you're denying, you're holding on. Somewhere in your body, you still have that tension or that angst or whatever it is, you know, fear, anger, hurt. It's there somewhere until you acknowledge it and then let it go. Letting go is like a compassionate self-love. It's just accepting, and it changes everything. You can't really describe what happens when you come to an understanding. I refer to our karma, our backpack of stuff that we carry with us all the time. And can it change? Yes, absolutely, it can change. We can change how we view life and how it works. And by changing how we view it, we change life. Everything changes when we change our view of ourselves and our world. So those rules in a Zendo about sitting and not moving and all that, that's ultimately just to help your practice to get better at what you're doing. They don't expect you to be able to do it, actually. It's like koan practice. You know, you go in and you sit with the Zen master and you try to solve a koan, and you keep coming back because you can never get it right. You know, you get frustrated. All these frustrations and these emotions and these things you go through, these are all about getting to know what's really going on here. What am I holding on to? What's my belief system about myself and my world that's getting in the way of actually experiencing it the way it is? So like anger, for example, if you don't have good management of your anger and you just lash out, a meditator would pause and stop before that happened and recognize it and see it coming and know not to go there. Precept, don't kill, don't abuse drugs, alcohol, and, you know, sexuality, and don't lie and don't cheat, and all these precepts that are sort of Buddhist precepts, those are all just ways of, like, the body-mind connection, getting you to help you with your practice. But the truth is, when you're really in touch, all those things are already there. You don't have to add them to your being, because under all our assumptions about things, we already are these beautiful, perfect beings. So it's not about adding something to your life and becoming something different. It's opening up to what you already are. That's why we have a practice. I discover that the more I practice, the more it benefits me. It can be very subtle. It can just be in terms of energy level, my ability to relax more, less worried about things, whatever. You know, these just ordinary, everyday life experiences just seem to flow better because I'm more in touch, more centered, more clear. And it works for everybody. You know, it works differently for each of us because we each have different things we're working with, but that's okay. Well, here's the thing. Sitting practice is ultimate intimacy. Because when you're really intimate with yourself and what you were talking about, body, mind, emotions, all of it, you know, that's intimacy. And then you can be intimate with others because you can be intimate with yourself. There's no denial. There's no pushing it away. There's no hiding it. You know, it's exposed. It's like, oh, yeah, there it is. You know, and when we get that, then we can help others because we can see it in them too. And we can be there to really hear them, really see them, really listen to them, because there's no judgment. You know yourself that, you know, humbly, I've got my own shit, but you're aware of it. That's mastery. You know, that's different than just letting your subconscious run your life. Well, anything else today? Well, thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, guys. Yeah.